Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Hey everyone. It's been a while since I last released a podcast episode, so I thought it was only appropriate that I bring back the kind of content that you all love. In this episode, I've gathered some intriguing stories from Reddit, covering everything from paranormal encounters, to creepy ex-boyfriends, to strange creatures spotted on the road. Whether or not you believe these tales, they're all claimed to be real experiences. Now we're kicking things off with a story about a man suffering from long COVID. According to a quick Google search, long COVID is a chronic condition that lasts for at least 3 months and can affect one or more organ systems, either continuously and relapses or progressively. And in the case of the person in this story, they've been dealing with it for 2 years. And at one point, his health takes a turn for the worst. But then he has a mysterious encounter that he believes triggers a healing phase. Coupled with bizarre lights in the sky and paranormal encounters in his bedroom, this experience leaves him questioning whether his sudden improvement is just a coincidence, or is it something more? Something was with me in my room last night. I asked it to heal me, and it did. An experience by Joelle Johnson and Iga Shashelska, who both reside in the village of Cambuskenneth, within the outskirts of the city of Stirling, Scotland. For the past 2 years, I've been suffering with a chronic illness known as long COVID. I went from climbing mountains to being unable to walk 5 feet, breathe, or even function normally in life. The doctors have no idea how to cure it. There have been no medications or treatments. They literally told me to wait and see if it gets better. It's been hell, and I pray almost every night for some higher being to heal me, as well as praying for my sister and grandmother who I lost just before the pandemic. I've been a Buddhist for about 6 years. Never Christian, but after losing family members, I felt like it was the right thing to do, you know, just to pray for them. The only way I can describe my illness to people is, imagine you are burning from the inside out. Something is crushing your lungs, and you're carrying 3 buckets of water on each limb. Your whole body is shaking with Parkinson's, and you struggle to form words. I had 80 symptoms, and I'm now down to 4. It's been a long journey of healing myself. However, these past few weeks have been even more difficult, with the flare-up of symptoms again. Now, let me start by saying that over the course of the 2 years of this illness, I've been saying things sometimes at night. This has happened maybe 6 times. I fall asleep, then wake up. There is something in the room with me. At first, it was just a black ball of fuzz floating in the air. Then it became a face at the window. Then it was a spider the size of a human face. Then I would have faces appearing right in front of mine. And then it just stopped happening. At first it was overwhelming, but the more it happened, the more I came to accept them. I've tried to reach out and touch them, but they vanish as soon as I do. And this leads me to last night. It was different. The times in the past I have seen something when I wake up, I can't really move at first. My brain is in a daze, foggy and unsure. Research tells me that it's sleep paralysis or hypnagogic or however the hell you say it, hallucinations. But this was something else. I woke up and I felt wide awake. Like I must have had 3 Red Bulls and just finished a jog. And there was this form next to my bed. Not black fuzzy shapes like the usual ones, but lines of light. 3 lines of vertical light, very thin. And on top of those lines was what looked like 2 thin oval shapes, a smaller one inside a larger one. I assumed the lines were the body and the ovals were the head. And at this point, I am used to seeing things, so it no longer phases me, and for some reason, I just asked the entity to heal me. As I said above, these past few weeks have been difficult with a flare-up of symptoms. So I assumed my subconscious just automatically went there. I reached out my hand to try and touch whatever it was, and I did. But as usual, it vanishes as I make contact. Now, fast forward to this morning, and I wake up feeling much better than I have the past few weeks. Not a normality, but a significant difference. So much that I had to ring my partner at work and tell them about the experience. Now we both believe that there is something else out there, but have never experienced it ourselves. Whether it be spirits, aliens, or something unknown. What's weird is that the night before when we all had the solar flare, causing the Borealis across the northern hemisphere, both my partner and I saw what we can only describe as a morphing crescent moon. It would look like a crescent moon, but very bright orange like the sun, but not blinding us. And then it would split into 2 parts, getting smaller until it vanishes. And then it would just come back together again. And this wasn't up in the sky, it was very low above the hill, just behind the housing estate we can see in the distance. I have no idea if it's somewhat connected to whatever happened, but it's strange that the 2 events happened so close to each other. I suppose my question is, has anyone seen the string of thin light entity with an oval light string head? And also, did anyone see a morphing moon the night of the Northern Lights? I've never felt compelled to write about my experiences until last night happened. Because this one was so different, and I am remarkably better than what I was. And over these 2 years of healing, I haven't even seen a jump healing-wise that quick. What was in my room? What was in the sky? Now before I dive into this story, I want to give a shout out to the protagonist's friend who mentioned that they watched my videos on YouTube. I really appreciate the support, especially given that I have not put a video out on YouTube in ages. So you're definitely motivating me to get back to that. Now, I've been in conversation with the person who experienced these events. It's Joelle and their partner Iga, who were kind enough to provide me with several drawings and images depicting what they saw at different points in the story. Now, after asking if they could illustrate the various things that they encountered, they sent me a sheet of drawings, which I've linked in the episode description. And the first thing that Joelle had saw in the story was a black, fuzzy object floating in the air, resembling a ball of black wool with lines extending from it. The second thing that Joelle witnessed was what he could only describe as a stereotypical witch staring at him through the window, only to vanish when he got out of bed. Now, I've also included a generic photo of a witch in the description, which Joelle confirmed closely resembled the face that he had saw that night, minus the hood and the shoulders. The third thing that Joelle had saw was a large black spider, about the size of a human face. Quite unnatural, especially since they live in a country where spiders of that size aren't typically found. And on other occasions, Joelle would see faces, though they were never as clear as the witch's face. Just vague shapes of eyes, mouths, or a nose. And he encountered those roughly 2 or 4 more times. A year and a half after those sightings, Joelle and his partner Iga had witnessed an unusual orange moon in the sky that appeared at them in different shapes. And this occurred on the evening of the Aurora Borealis, also known as the Northern Lights, which were expected to be visible in their village. And during that evening, Joelle recalls going upstairs to talk to Iga, who was on her laptop in bed, before turning to look out the roof window to see if the Northern Lights were visible. But unfortunately, they only saw green haze. Joelle initially spotted a bright orangey-red crescent shape hovering above the housing estate in the distance. It was too low to be a moon, darker than the sun, yet not bright enough to blind him. And he immediately told Iga, "What the hell is that?" And Iga joined him to look at the strange object in the sky, which started as a crescent shape and then began morphing into various forms, as shown in the images linked in the description of this episode. The object shifted from a crescent shape to a broken crescent, and then to just tips, followed by a slight smile and a dot, and finally into a full smile shape. Joelle and Iga stood watching it for 15 minutes before it completely vanished, and they haven't seen it since. They were shocked and joked that it might have been aliens, as they live near a UFO hotspot in Scotland called the Bonnie Bridge Triangle. The night after the Aurora was when Joelle experienced his first healing encounter, as described earlier. The entity depicted in the drawing linked in the description, appeared as three vertical lines of white light and a blue oval shaped like an eye within another large blue oval. And it was just outlines, nothing solid. And Joel woke up as he often did during these experiences, but this time, for the first time, he attempted to communicate. And it felt almost automatic, as if he couldn't control himself. And he simply asked the figure, "Okay, you're here. Please heal me." And as he reached out to touch it, the figure vanished. Joel has no idea why he asked that question, but he felt significantly better the next day. About 60% better in terms of symptoms. And just recently, the night before Joel sent me an email with these additional details, he claimed to have had yet another experience. And this time, it involved something that looked like bubbles, like the ones that you blow from soapy water as a kid. And as usual, he woke up and noticed something in the room. But this time, these bubbles were floating up to the door handle. And he said nothing, just switched on the light to see if they were still there. But of course, they vanished. The morning he sent me the email, Joel claimed that he was almost 100% better, with hardly any symptoms remaining. As mentioned earlier, the images drawn by Joel and Iga are available in the episode description, and I want to thank them both for allowing me to share their experiences in this podcast episode. With that said, let's move on to the second story of this episode, which features a woman confronted by an old ex-boyfriend, except this ex-boyfriend is fresh out of a mental hospital.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
My high school boyfriend from 15 years ago that ended up in a mental hospital. Let's not meet again. So my senior year of high school, I dated this guy. Let's call him Tom. We dated for over a year, and the relationship was not good. We were always breaking up and getting back together. Fighting a lot. He would threaten me a lot. Just overall very toxic. His parents always had a very rocky relationship. His dad was an alcoholic and beat on his mom most nights. I even witnessed it when I spent the night there on rare occasions. It was scary. And toward the end of senior year, Tom cheated on me at his birthday party. So again, we broke up, and months later we tried to get back together. But I realized I just didn't like him anymore and called it quits for good. Now that was 15 years ago, and that was the last time I saw him. I've since heard that he became an alcoholic just like his dad, became very violent, and wound up in a mental hospital. I wasn't sure on the details on all of this, but I heard that he might be schizophrenic. So 9 years ago, I met my now husband. We've been married for 4 years and have a 2-year-old, and another one on the way. This for context. Maybe about a year ago now, I got a random text message asking my name. I get work calls and text messages on my personal phone, so I answered, "Yes?" And they wrote back, "How are you?" I should mention that I've had the same number since high school. I didn't respond because I didn't know who it was, and at this point figured that it wasn't anything to do with work. A few minutes later, I got another text. "It's Tom, how are you?" When I tell you I gasped, I responded, "I'm well, I hope you are too." And he wrote again, "What are you doing?" Again, I didn't respond. Then a minute later, "Do you ever think about us? Do you ever wonder what would have happened if we were still together? Do you ever think about getting back together?" I sat in silence, rereading these messages, unsure of how to respond. And finally I replied, "I'm sorry, Tom, but no. I'm married now and I wish you the best, but I don't think we should have any form of communication." And he responded, "Okay, sorry." I thought this was weird. But whatever. Maybe the dude is lonely and decided to reach out. Who knows? That was that. And last week, his mother showed up at my family business. I've worked here since high school in different roles. And she and his father have gotten a divorce, and she now has a boyfriend she seems very happy with now. We exchanged pleasantries, and then she asked, "Did you hear about Tom? He was in an institution." I said that I heard that and was sorry to hear it. And she said, "Yeah, he killed several animals. That's why they ended up locking him up." Again, I said I was sorry to hear that. And then she said, "Yeah, but he's out now. Has been for a while. You know, you're always my favorite girlfriend that he had. Do you ever still think about him?" I wasn't sure what to say to this. I wanted to say, "Lady, that was in high school. No." But instead, I said, "No, I'm married now with a toddler. I don't have much time to think about anything." Trying to lighten the mood, I guess. She then said, "You know, he's not a bad guy. I don't see him that much anymore, but when I do, he still talks about you. He wonders what could have been. Would you ever be open to talking to him?" And that's when I shut things down. I told her it was great to see her, but that option was off the table now, and forever. I said I had to get back to work. I walked away and hid in the back until she left. What the actual fuck? This high school relationship was years ago. I want no part of him or his family. I'm just so sincerely hoping he doesn't pop up at my place of work. I have no idea if he's still around the area, but I really, really hope he isn't. Anyway, bizarre old high school boyfriend, let's not meet again. I find it crazy that the ex's mom actually showed up at her workplace, and it's pretty unsettling that he now knows where she works. A lot of people in the comments believe that the ex might have put his mom up to trying to convince her to take him back. And the fact that he didn't back off even after she told him that she's married with kids is even more concerning. I really hope that the protagonist stays safe and alert, and that she informs her job and her husband about this, because you never know how far this guy might go until he realizes that there is no chance of getting back together. The next story makes me feel like I should get a dog ASAP. Because a man's best friend can also be the man's hero. My dog alerted me to something at my window. An experience by your boy horse Jesus. When I was 17, my bedroom had a window looking out at my backyard. The backyard was fenced in, but on the other side of the fence were some woods and a retention pod. I'd never been scared of this, and I kept the blinds open so that when the sun rose in the morning, the natural light would help me wake up. And one night, I was up late on my phone with my dog laying in the bed next to me. It was around 2 a.m. when my dog jumped up and started barking at the window. At first, I thought he was just barking at his reflection, and I told him to stop. But I then realized that he was looking at the left side of the window, while his reflection was on the right. I couldn't see outside the window because I had left the lamp on my nightstand on. And all I could see in the window was the reflection of my bedroom. Not wanting to alert whatever might be out there that I was scared, I faked a yawn, set my phone aside, and turned off the lamp. I then laid down facing the window. And I swear, I saw a set of human eyes looking back at me from the left side of the window. I drink a lot of water at night, so I had an empty bottle on my nightstand. I grabbed it and pretended to realize that it was empty. I turned on the lamp and acted like I was going to get water. I went to my parents' room instead. And after telling my dad about what was going on, he told me not to worry. We had these motion-activated floodlights and they hadn't turned on, so there was no way anything was out there. I went back to my room and I told myself that I was just seeing things. I closed the blinds and turned off the lamp and got some sleep. When I woke up in the morning, I went to take my dog out and decided to take out the pine straw bedding underneath my window. It was visibly disturbed. I did my best to ignore that and remember what my dad said about the floodlights. That worked pretty well, until my dad tested the floodlights later that day and found that the bulbs had burnt out. To this day, I keep my blinds closed and my lamp off when I sleep. I don't want to risk anything being able to see me, and if anything is somehow peeking through my window, I want to know that it's there. If there was someone at my window that night, let's not meet. Is this story not enough for you to be more aware of open windows at night? I guess this story also serves as a reminder to make sure your lights are working outside, because it seems like these lights might have been out for quite some time. So who knows how long this guy may have been looking into the window, or whatever this thing is. I definitely will keep my windows covered, because you never know what eyes can be peering in. My friend and I were driving in a pitch-black park and saw a poodle walking on two legs, and it walked off. This is an experience by Foreign Forest. One evening back when I was a senior in high school, I was hanging out with my friend. I picked him up from his house and we drive to the outskirts of town to get away from all the noise and talk about life. We knew of this park that at a certain hour would turn off all the lights, leaving this giant park and a set of lakes just completely pitch black. And that night, we went there. And as we were driving through the park, circling the perimeter, which was about 3 miles, we had our headlights on, and we could only see a few feet ahead in the pitch black night. At once we halted to a stop, and seeing something out of the corner of my eye became my center of vision so quickly that it left me stunned. We were stopped by a white poodle, walking on its hind legs. Its bipedal motion wasn't inexperienced either. Its level of stillness and intention in its step was paralyzing. And as we came to a stop in the car, it was walking across the road on two legs. And in the middle of the road, it stopped. And it turned and looked at us with its beady black eyes and kind of turned its head, like dogs typically do when they are puzzled, but then walked off across the road and into the darkness again. We drove out of there as quickly as possible. The question was, what was that thing really? Apparently, the protagonist claimed that the breed may have been a Labradoodle. And it was big, about 4 to 5 feet tall, scuffed up as if it had been through a fight. The protagonist also claims to have felt a deep feeling of dread when they encountered the animal. Have you ever experienced anything like this in the dark roads in the middle of the night? If so, you know what to do. Is my toddler seeing my dead mom? An experience by @outrageous9491. My toddler sleeps in my room at night. And about 2 weeks ago, after getting ready for bed, we lay down to read our book and she starts pointing to a corner of the room asking, "What's that?" repeatedly. I thought nothing of it at the time, so I deflected by saying, "It's a wall. It's a wall." And shifted her focus to reading our bedtime book before we tucked in for the night. While we were reading, she kept looking up into the same spot in the room. And then eventually her focus moved over to the door/hallway. I stopped reading to look at her and see what she's pointing at. And she says, "What are you doing? Talking to something when there's nothing there." I ask her, "What is it?" And she says, "It's Grandma. Hi, Grandma." At this point, I'm shitting myself because I don't know what to think. I ended up leaving it at that and just putting her to sleep. My ex and I co-parent, and his mom doesn't want to be called Grandma, so they have another nickname for her. I asked him the next day if there was any chance it ever gets said at his place, and he said no. So I spent the next few days racking my brain, trying to figure out why she would be saying it. Could it be cartoons or something? That weekend, I decided to pull out some old family photos upon the recommendation from a friend after hearing this story. And sure as shit, she points directly to my mom. She points to my mom and says, "It's Grandma." No prompting. My mom has been dead since 2020. My toddler has never seen a photo of her, yet she pointed directly to her out of all the other photos of women in our family, young and old. It's left me rattled since, and I don't know how to process it. What do you think? Well, that's all for today's stories. Which story was your favorite? I'd love to hear it, either by you commenting on a post related to this episode on my Instagram or TikTok page at The Scarecast, or you can email me at mike@thescarecast.com. Also, if you have a scary story you would like for me to share to the podcast, I would love to hear it. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you leave a rating and a review for my podcast on your respective podcast player. And also, share this episode to a friend. As always, be safe out there. And until next time.